Today's episode is sponsored by Famous Footwear.
Kristen, what are you doing? We're recording. We have a very exciting podcast today. You can watch this podcast, and I recommend that you do, on YouTube. Please rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends about it, especially this episode. I'm giddy. I'm giddy about this episode. We have special guests, Lise Smith and Nikki Smith, moms of Connor and Tanner Smith from Love on the Spectrum, which we are both obsessed with.
Obsessed. Cannot wait to talk to them. They're, if they're half as awesome as I think they're going to be, this is going to be a conversation that just flows very nicely.
And if they're half as pretty as they look on TV, I'm going to have trouble focusing, honestly.
I know, they're very pretty, but they're cool. You know what I mean?
They're really cool
ladies.
And
they're really showing, like, I think it's awesome to see moms killing it. And it's not in that way that you think, like, oh, you have a perfect Instagram picture, or your kid is like the perfect kid and getting the best grades. It's more like they're in the field. They've got kids that have some challenges, and then they have kids that are just in the world, and they're doing it and they're killing it, and they're showing us like how to lead with love and also honesty, which I dig.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, let's get into it. Kristen, are we podcasting?
We are podcasting, and we are podcasting with some super cool ladies that we are stoked to be with right now. I gotta like chill out.
Absolute celebrity moms. I know. Oh, I gotta calm down.
Stop. No.
Hardly. If you haven't seen the show Love on the Spectrum, you've been under a rock. But if you have seen it, then you know the moms of two of the wonderful castmates and stars, Connor and Tanner. And we've all fallen in love with them. But ladies, everybody's fallen in love with you. And not like aren't they sweet? You're also so pretty. And
Cool. You are so good, hype women.
I wish I would have upped my game today. I'm drinking wine from a can. I've got a dirty sweater on.
That's all right. This I have is a big lipstick stain in my cup.
I'm wearing my
I was close to a baseball hat, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
wanting
to dress up for you.
You guys are awesome. We're so excited to talk to you guys because Jen was talking and gushing before we jumped on here. Listen, this is just going to be a love fest. You have no idea. Okay, so Lise, remind me of, obviously I know Connor, remind me of the ages of your kids.
So my biological, I'm in a blended family, but my kids.
Okay, that's right.
Connor's my oldest. He's 27. And then I have twins that are 25. And then I have a 21-year-old. And a drinking problem.
Oh, God. If you didn't, I'd be like, who are you trying to prove?
We all do.
And Nikki, how old are your kids?
Tanner is number two. I have Taylor, his older sister. She's 29. She's married to Jimmy, and they have baby Chief, who you see a lot in Tanner's content. Tanner's the second. He's 27. Then my next one is my daughter, Midge. She is just recently also 25. And my youngest is Maverick, and he's 20. He's a rising sophomore in college.
So Nikki and I were knocking the boots all at the same time.
We absolutely were. We were getting down on it for about 10 years there.
God bless you. I guess Jen and I were too, because my son is 15 and then Jen's son is 13. My daughter is 13. And then Jen has an 11-year-old that's going to be 21 if she has anything to say about it. Minute.
You guys are in the thick of it.
How are you holding up?
Yeah. How are you doing? Yeah. Are you all right?
We wrote a book called The Middle School Survival Guide. I'm saying it wrong, Kristen. What's our book called?
Middle School Mom Survival Guide.
Okay, first of all, your promo video being in the bookstore for that.
So great.
Loved.
My 13-year-old filmed it for me. Thank you.
Loved.
He knows tech way better than I do.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But my daughter, I'm going to gush. When can I start gushing?
Gush.
Is it okay if I just do it?
Yeah,
no, okay.
Do it. Yes.
Because so I love, if anybody listening has not seen the show, run to watch Love on the Spectrum. We've been binging it because also there's not a lot of TV for like the 11-year-old space that's like still interesting to them, but not, you know, You don't want it squeaky clean, but you don't want it like filthy. This has been perfect. It's also perfect because since my daughter's going into middle school and I'm barely surviving that, her elementary school did not have like classes where like she was with kids that were neurodivergent. So she is going into a middle school that has an academy for like duly exceptional students. And this has been the best education for her to like be introduced and fall in love with your sons and with everyone on the show. I think like you're doing such a service. Like it is the best of us. It's what the world needs right now is this
and
show.
For me as a parent, I know Connor was in public schools. I was a single mom for 5 years. I went through a lot with him and building that, to see that the lens that the world now looks at Connor is so moving to me because Connor was ostracized, isolated. No one talked to him. They got treated like some oddball kid and went to the prom with his sister's friend. You know, like that was his experience. And now those very same kids are lining up for selfies, you know? So it's like a full circle moment because when I was like, and Nikki's heard this ad nauseum, so I'm sorry, Nikki, but like Connor's never changed. He's never changed. So y'all should, what you're seeing now, you're just seeing him. You're just allowing yourself to see him. So I love that doing that for your kids because hopefully they won't overlook the Connors or the Tanners that they're about to meet, you know?
In their school, that is the greatest gift Love on the Spectrum has given the world. It has completely changed the perception, the way people see it, the acceptance level. That has been mind-boggling to watch because Tanner was blessed in that he didn't go through a lot of bullying, but there was very definitely isolation and a lack of social opportunity, a lot of weekends just spent at home with mom and dad while everybody else was off. And he wasn't necessarily unhappy with that. To be honest, that was harder for Mark and I, you know, that knowing what wasn't happening. And now to see him pursued and loved and admired, and it's hard to put it into words.
Been no two better moms to be at the forefront of this whole conversation than you two, because we are seeing you guys mother in real time, and you're both killing it. Like we're, as you know, autism aside, which it obviously is a whole bag of tricks, it is just watching you two parent with calmness but also enthusiasm. I was saying Nikki would be an excellent improviser because you're so yes Andy, like when Tanner meets you with excitement, you meet him with excitement. And then Lise, I love that you give Connor shit. I love that he did not want to tip
right back.
And you were like, bro, you've got to tip better. And he was getting like fussy and you were like, we're gonna talk about this again when you're calmed down. But you have to be a good tipper. And it's funny because we're having the same conversations with our kids. And so right. You guys yes. are like laying track for being these moms that aren't uh-huh. precious, but are also loving, but are also to the point and direct and sweet and fun and cool. And it makes us feel like we can uh-huh. open our net a little bit and start taking risks. I think... And I would love to know what you guys think about this. When you talk about Connor and Tanner, like spending those days not invited to the birthday parties, and what would you mm-hmm. say to moms if they're just like, I think yeah. on behalf of moms, I wonder if there is a point where they're like, I just don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to get it wrong. And right. then the effort isn't made simply out of being like, what is your thought on that? How would you tell moms to just, hey, take a shot, take a chance. You know, what would be your advice?
I think for me with Connor, like, we always threw the elaborate parties that, you know, and kids would come get their goodie bag and then we'd never see them or hear from them again. Like my thought and prayer was, okay, we'll bring these kids over. They'll see how cool he is, or we'll do a party and they would come and enjoy. And then they would just peace out. And then that was it. For me though, I would just say, there were a few students that were good leaders, and I've got to the point where I got to a place where I just wanted Connor to have one or two friends to reach out to. And I think I had to get over a lot. And it was mostly me projecting my own shit onto my kid. And I just think if you can separate that and just whatever was making Connor happy, because I don't even know that Connor enjoyed his big parties, to be honest. So I would just say, try to, you know your kid, but I mean, take the blessing of one or two friends. And sometimes the teacher can even help you if they're younger and say, hey, Susie Q or Billy is really sweet with your son. I would ask, can you ask the parents? Can we make a connection? And I think there's just a lot of things society put on us that our kids should have that I subscribed. I went through a lot to have kids, had a lot of fertility issues. I wanted every bit of every experience. I was so selfish about it. And I wish I could tell my younger self, put your stuff on the shelf, back yourself up, and really look at what your kid wants. Because the actual fact was, Connor would eat lunch alone in high school, and I would cry about it. And I found out he loved it. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He was exhausted from keeping it together during class. He saw lunch as his downtime. And that I saw that. That
is such a massive revelation.
So
it really is.
To have a 27-year-old man tell you that, he's 20, you know, and me go, God, I wish I knew that then.
I'm such a fan of anything that makes small business an easier venture, even small business in terms of like a PTA. And that's why I love Square. Square helps you live and improve your business. And that's why I like Square. It helps your lives run so much simpler. You know, we're a small business and we're also both PTAers. So we've been using Square for years and it's so interactive and it makes like owning a small business so much more possible. Business owners love it because it simplifies the messy stuff. You don't need an IT team or a degree in accounting. It scales with you, whether you're selling from a stall or expanding into storefronts. Businesses using Square Online earn 36% more revenue on average. 77% or more of invoices get paid within a day of being sent, and 53% or more average increase in spend from customers enrolled in a Square loyalty program. We see a 53% average increase in spend from customers enrolled in a Square loyalty program. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/momsohard. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
Yeah, I feel like you're both so like aware. You have such good like self-awareness. Did you always, or did having a child with some needs like force that upon
you?
Yeah,
were you always this awesome?
We were watching the show.
Yeah.
And pretty. I mean, but so we were watching it. We were watching it last night, and my family and I, the kids, my husband and I, all looked at each other because I think it was when Connor first got his, like his first date or that somebody was interested in him. You can see that he's very close to like it being too much emotionally. And the way that you like talked him down and like got him calm and like, hey, we're just going to go about the day was just a masterclass to me. Because it was so good.
Because he was freaking out. And I mean, he had a panic attack on the speed dating night. Because in his, God bless his mind, he thought he was there to meet his wife.
Yeah.
I had to walk that way.
Hey, man, I wonder if most people feel that way about a speed dating event. I would literally.
Yeah, same.
But the Sasha thing, like, he was so anxious. He was so anxious. And I thought, I have to keep doing touchstone and reality checks with him. And I know, Nikki, you're similar to Tanner, but I was like, you're meeting someone new. You're going to have a fun day. That's the only requirement of today. Have a good time. And meet somebody new and get to know somebody better. Those are the two things. You do that, mission accomplished. Anything else comes of it, it's a bonus. And just, I bet you ladies are so instinctual with your own kid. You kind of know what they need in the moment.
Well, I'm making notes in case anything goes south with my husband.
Call me.
Because that is not honestly how I dated at all. I was like, when do I take my pants off?
Just at what point are we ready?
We had no intentional dating. We had very unintentional dating. If it was called speed dating, it was because I went too fast on the first date.
That was where the speed was.
Yeah. And dating in itself is so hard anyway. And I think Love on the Spectrum does a lot of things. But you guys being these buoys of like a voice of reason, but also You're so funny. Both of you are very funny and very, and there's
that's times where Nikki and I have really have clicked. To be. Yeah. Like, and I would, honestly, I would like to be funnier. Like, my girls and I talk about that all the time. Like, if people really knew how our family functions, I mean, they see a lot. Well, we're never untrue, but we're a lot funnier behind the scenes, and the shit we say to Tanner and the way we handle him. I mean, but you always worry, are we going to offend somebody? Is someone going to misinterpret
us and
take it the wrong way? Or think that we're, you know, not respecting him. He is so used to us, and it's made him who he is. It's made him resilient. It's made him able to roll with things. It has softened the rough edges of the autistic personality and brought him down a few notches. And, you know, like Lisa was saying, it's such a humbling thing. I mean, because it forces you to look at your intentions as a mother. And, like, I think for me, I had no idea how much of my mothering was coming from my own internal goals and desires. I didn't mean to. I didn't have that conscious thought. But I had goals for my kids. I had expectations. I had things I knew Mark would love. You know, I'm like, oh, Mark would love it if he, you know, could do X, Y, Z. And when it became very apparent that he was not going to be able to do X, Y, Z, that was a big blow. And it really made me come to grips with, your children are not you. And they are not there to be the next better version of you. They are there to be a completely new individual. And it is your job to help that individual be the best he or she can be.
That's the mind shift.
Yeah. And that was such a mind shift for me. But I didn't even know I needed to make the shift. Does that make sense?
Yes,
I had
of
no
course.
Idea yeah. how locked down I was in that. And then Tanner we've always said, like, he makes us all feel very raw. Like, there is no bullshit with Tanner. He lives exactly as he is. He's so raw. So you sort of have to be that way to function with him. And he's not
very direct,
let you be
I imagine.
He's not fake.
Yeah, I mean, and we call Connor truth serum, and that is honestly why we love him. I'm so sorry my landscapers are blowing in the front.
That's when they come. They're like, when are you going to be podcasting? And that's when I'm coming.
Yeah. It is our favorite thing. No. It's our favorite thing when we're at Jen's. We'll start to podcast, and it will be, first of all, a helicopter, and then her neighbor, Dale, will come out and blow weeds for the first time ever in his
throw
life.
Throw garbage cans, something.
We'll hear people talking. I'm like, podcasting. Does everybody just get an alert that says we're podcasting, so
they
please
do.
Be loud?
My youngest was just in here walking like an elephant. I was like, get the hell
out of
here.
Oh, no, they walk like they don't have joints. They walk like their feet are elves.
You know, I want to say this, too, about the rest of your children are all really nice human beings. Like,
they are.
They're great people. And it was funny when I was watching it last night, because Kristen and I both, I have one cousin and he has extreme autism and I think some other things. So, like, right now he lives with a bunch of his buddies. Like, he's 52. And, you know, I think when he was, like, getting diagnosed, it wasn't exactly right. But he was such a big part of my life growing up for so long that when we were watching last night, my husband was like, wow, his brother and sister are like really flipping him shit right now. And I'm like, but that's what you do with family.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really treat them any different.
Right. Yeah. You can't treat them like a glass, you know, a breakable vase. I mean, they have to, that I think is the biggest gift of having a big family. It was built in socialization. It was built in modeling. It was built in support. It was built in unconditional love. And I know for us, we were always with our other three very like honest. We were like, This is not a fair situation. You are not always going to get as much of me as you would have if everybody was neurotypical, because your brother needs more than you do. But your life is going to be easier than his. And we always told them that straight up front. There's going to be things that for you are just going to happen, and you're just going to learn, and you're just going to absorb. It's not going to be an effort. For him, it is monumental. And that's the way our life is. That's the way our world is. Now we're all on one team. Everybody jump in, do your part, and let's all work hard and get the best outcome we possibly can.
Can you talk to my family?
And then Nikki's like, now give me 50 push-ups. No, I'm
kidding. Is that what you do? Do you give push-ups? We do that. My son is like a Doberman. We got to run him. And I'm like, if he gets mouthy, we give him push-ups. I'm not joking because we can't. Listen, he's coming to the table. I'm like, what's happening to you? You're 15 and it's he is such a brat right now.
It's like your sweet little boy who was like obsessed with you, and now
testosterone.
They smell.
Taking off his clothes all the time.
And like random boners.
Random boners. And
it's the worst.
He's wearing underpants when he got that he was seven that he doesn't want to throw away. And I'm like, they don't even cover everything.
Like, adorably.
And then you're like, oh my God, take it away. Don't touch me.
My 13-year-old, maybe we're watching too much murder after Love on the Spectrum, but he had a nightmare and is like, I go, what do you want? You want to sleep here? He's like, yeah, can I? So I slept him, me, 130-pound Labrador, and my husband. So,
oh God.
And you don't
king. I hope it's a king.
It is barely. A king.
Thank God.
There's a lot of spread happening.
Well, I have a question for you ladies. How did you two meet? When did you guys meet? What's the story of your friendship?
Well, Jen and I are both from Nebraska, but we did not meet in Nebraska. We had moved out to LA at different times to pursue comedy and writing, and one night I was invited to a comedy show. We went in, and Jen was on stage, and I remember thinking, she is really funny, but she is wearing a lot of necklaces, and you know, just she's gotten so many accessories. How's she even working right now? How's she doing anything? And she made a couple jokes that I was like, wait, is she from where I'm from? Then we got into a parking lot, and we were having drinks, and we were sort of like back to back. And then somebody came up to us and they were like, do you guys even know that you're both from Nebraska? And then we turned and it was like glass started to break. And we were like, do you know so-and-so? Do you know so-and-so? And it was just like,
I love it. As soon as we figured out we're both from Nebraska, we quickly figured out we lived across the street from each other in Los Angeles, which is crazy. We drove the same car. We had enormous dogs.
It was my hot car.
We were swinging singles, and so not swinging, but you know, we were single.
Right.
And so I'd take my clutch and put it under my arm, and I'd take my scooter and my heels, my BB heels, and smoke and go over to Kristen's and be like, get on, bitch. We're going to the bar.
By the way, this is not a motor scooter. This is the old school Razor scooter that you had to
like a foot?
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foot one in my heels, but I got really good at it.
Ladies, we're back. We are back into the full swing of school, especially middle school. And let me tell you, I've never felt more supported by anybody more than Famous Footwear. It has been such a win for us to go into, by the way, they have like 800 stores into Famous Footwear. We let the kids go into the aisle they want. They choose the shoe they're happy with. And the first day of school was a total success. My daughter wore a new pair of Adidas. My son wore some Nikes. I know everybody's excited to get a pair of Birkenstocks. Don't let back to school sneak up on you. Famous Footwear makes it easy to get ready for the school year with great shoes at great prices. Famous Footwear has the styles you're looking for from the brands that you love. Nike, Adidas, Jordan, New Balance, Skechers, and so many more. Right now it's BOGO. Buy one pair, get one half off at Famous Footwear. Shop in-store to get $10 to spend this fall. Some exclusions apply. Plus join Famous Rewards to get our best benefits, including free shipping. Shop back to school at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Join Famous Rewards for benefits like free shipping, pick your own BOGO, and rewards cash. Some exclusions apply.
How did you guys, I mean, you were in a similar situation, but different states. How did your friendship bloom?
I thought she was cool.
So cool.
And I sent her a DM. I was
so
like,
cool.
All of my friends who were watching the show were like, you're going to be friends with her. They were like, that guy's mom. You two are so much alike. You guys are going to be friends.
Nikki is and I so was like, freaking sweet. Because you tell your side.
No, I was. I was like, she's so cool. I was like, we're going to be friends for sure. Oh. This has got to go somewhere.
Okay, and I thought she was cool, but I'm watching the show, and obviously so Connor was like our season. We came on together, Tanner and Connor, and we don't know who's coming on. You have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know each other at all.
You don't know.
Uh-uh.
Oh wow.
So I'm watching. And then I see, and you don't. We don't see our parts at all. We know what they film, and then they go to edit, and you have no idea. We watch when you guys watch. We see
scary,
now.
Scary.
Wow.
Very like, scary. It's
really
terrifying.
Freaking out. So, okay. So, basically, I was watching this show, and I was watching our parts, and then all of a sudden, here comes Nikki. And I went, I'm not the cute mom. I'm not the cute mom. I was going to be the cute mom. I'm not even going to be.
Ladies, I'm going to be honest. You're both hot stuff.
And then they're like, oh, Nikki's a personal trainer. I'm like, fucking of course she is. Sure she is. Because I'm over here with like Cinnamon Doughboy over here.
Kristen,
like,
we could do more.
No, I wouldn't even have been brave enough to do your swimsuit post. Like
what do you mean by brave? You didn't think we were really hot? I'm confused.
Yeah, I thought you, oh, sorry. You looked good, girl.
I'll tell you, you were actually good. I'll tell you about that video. This is how this went. We haven't really told this story very often, but so in the beginning when we started I Mom So Hard, Jen literally came over one night with baby Delilah. She was an infant, and toddler Dashiell, toddler Eleanor, and then we had a five-year-old Finn, who got in trouble for dropping the F-bomb at school. And we, which was completely an accident. He had just heard it at home. So we were.
I heard it from you.
Yeah, I heard it from me. So
I don't know where it all me.
Everybody went outside for the first time ever. It never happens like this. Jen and I had 5 minutes to just start talk to each other. And she looked so tired, and Delilah would not stop, just needed her all the time, nursing. And we were laughing and we were crying at the same time. And Jen was like, how come nobody shows motherhood? Like, it really is. Like, everybody's got like
it really is.
Beautiful Instagram pictures, and they're, it's also intimidating. And like, you know, maybe we should make a video and show how it really is. And so we did. And that's how I Mom So Hard started. But after we did that, I got invited to a stupid ass pool party. So I had to go get a bathing suit or whatever. I went to the mall like a dumbass, and I went in the dressing room, and I was thick. I was thick, and I was trying on suits.
Some of us hold on to baby weight for about 10 years. Just so
I have baby weight after 21 years.
Okay, oh, I had a trainer go, I said, I have baby weight I need to lose. And he said, how old is the baby? And I said, 4. And he goes, that's not baby weight. That's just weight. And I was like, well, fuck you. Well, you're not my trainer right now. Yeah. So
he's, exactly. That's why we don't work with him.
Yeah. That's why we don't. So I tried on these suits. They were as terrible as you can imagine. And I called Jen and I was like, this was the worst day ever. And she listened, and she was a really good friend. And then she goes, I think this is a video. And I go, what do you mean?
It is.
And so we went to, we were so busy. We had so like just the idea of like having these toddlers and babies, and that we were trying to do this thing, and Jen was learning to edit while the baby was like nursing, was insane. So we really did work fast, which I think was kind of a blessing, because we didn't have time to worry about what we looked like, if everything was perfect, if everything was together. It was kind of like, do it right now, and so we had no time to think, because I think if I would have thought it, I would have said no. So we went to TJ Maxx. The question everybody asks us is, where did you find those hideous suits? It was the fastest thing we did of the entire video, which was 5 minutes in the middle of TJ Maxx, pull the suits. There is one that we didn't air that Jen was like, I can't let you do that one. And I was like, because my vagina swelling.
I couldn't responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like somebody was dressing me in floss, and it did not have a crotch. Okay. So you can imagine. So she goes, we can't use that one. I go, thank you, friend, because then it would have never hit the air.
Yes.
And we put that video together, and I kept saying no because I just was worried, and I saw myself, and I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then my good friend Jen sent an edit that was pretty good. And I go, okay, that one's pretty funny. And she goes, are you good to post it? And I go, well, let's post it when we're at the airport together. And she translated it as, let's post it and we'll look at it at the airport together. And so we get on a flight, we go to Seattle, and we get back, and there were 10 million views already. Like, we didn't even understand. This was 10 years ago. This is before these numbers
That was massive. That's huge.
I was like, this is the video I thought nobody would watch. And this is the video every single ex-boyfriend I've ever had has seen. And he does not feel bad that I'm the ex. You know what I mean? So that one,
what friends do.
Yeah. So that one was a really catastrophic post. But the thing that was really special was that we did not get to manage the page the 2 hours we were on a flight. So the comments were open. People could post pictures on Facebook of themselves. And we looked at the post and we were like, oh my God, women are posting pictures of themselves. Like, I'm going to the beach today because of this video. And we were so worried.
Oh, that's that amazing.
There were gonna be trolls. I'm telling you, I loved it.
But it was all positive. And we were
supportive.
Like,
oh, y'all,
this
that's
is
so
why
great.
Women are awesome. Like, this is what
yes.
women can be and are.
Need.
And we show too much and of the catty need. Stuff yeah. and not enough of the friendship stuff. And so Jen and I, then we were just super juiced after that and just kept
yeah,
doing it.
That
then it became
amazing.
A live show and that's what we're doing now.
Y'all, I think it's amazing. And don't you think we all as women like I never look at other women's social media and pick them apart and
no.
criticize every little detail and think about, I mean, like, I'm usually thinking, oh my God, she has fabulous hair, or I love the way she does her makeup, or her style is incredible, or
right.
she's so witty. I love the way she phrases things. I mean, that's usually what's going through my head.
I'm
we
not
are the
that
ones,
pure. I'm
you
not
know,
that. I'm not that pure.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like a jerk because I started this little bit by saying, I'm not the cute mom, like Nikki's the and I sounded like jealous and catty, but I do want to go back then and just say I did see her up there and I thought
yeah.
it did cross my mind. I'm just being real. But then I watched her and I'll be honest, I thought they were such a cool family.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say
this is so funny to me.
I thought they were super. I mean, I have a potty mouth. I'm from Boston. Like, fuck's my second word. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Thank
like,
God you said that. All right.
No, I'm like for a second. totally a potty mouth. I'm little, you know, I was a single mom. Like, I'm a little like, I'm out there. I'm not everybody's flavor. I'm just like, you like me or you don't. Like, it's there's really not a middle with me. And so when I saw her and he was so polite and he had his Bible verses on the wall, I was like, oh my God, they're so cool. Like, she looks cool, but like, she's
way
me.
Too uptight for me.
Well, I just thought they would be such a sweet family. Like, I would just
yeah.
be on my.
And then we met.
And then I
we
met.
And she was like,
and
oh.
I was like, oh, hell, this is my girl.
That's
oh, this
great.
This is all right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
awesome.
How like, the show brought us together, and we laugh about how short of time, but in that time we've traveled together. Our
yeah.
sons presented at the Emmys together, and
aww.
I mean that was an ugly cry moment for both
yeah.
of us. I mean we were.
That was
I mean I,
crazy
there's not a lot of people
moment.
I can bond over this specific experience
yeah.
with, and to get to do it with a mom like Nikki, it's so cool. You know, and there's the other moms are great. We're also pretty close
oh, yes.
to Christine, Abby's mom. She's
mm-hmm.
one of us, but she's just on the West Coast.
Right.
But it's just, it's just such a, it's such a cool, it's such a weird experience. Like you're on
it
this
is.
Netflix show, your kids go from nobody to everybody, you know. It's,
also,
yeah.
they're
so,
dealing with something that can
yeah.
socially be hard for them, I'm sure, to take on. I mean, it's overwhelming. Oftentimes we feel, Jen and I sometimes feel like we have, what do you call it? Like dysmorphia, where you're like what, one time we were going out on stage and it was a sold out house and it was huge and it was so loud. And I think it was the Atlanta show. And Jen goes, is Sinbad here? Like, why is there so many people
yeah.
here? And I just remember looking
who,
at Jen and going,
who are they here?
Are
to
they
see
here you? For us? Like, and then of course,
that's crazy.
If I still get like such stage fright and I'm like, I should have been a dentist. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure as your kid who lives out on the outside of you and they have these things that are, you know, challenging, I'm sure you
yeah.
guys are like, you need each other so much.
Oh
we
sure.
do.
And
especially
really cool
with some
of
the online okay. hate.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's
insane
what I was gonna say.
To me.
You, we
they came
you
for
have
us,
to be
man.
You have
yeah.
to be congratulated for your vulnerability because you are putting your families out there.
Yeah.
You're putting your parenting up for criticism. Every single part of your life can be picked
yeah.
apart. And we know that there are some assholes that do.
Oh, aren't there?
How
there are a lot.
How do you deal with that?
Teach
literally
us. We lean on each other so much.
We really do.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
Really
when
cool
Nikki's
how, like,
strong, I'm weak. It's really
yep,
weird.
Same.
Yeah.
We
that's so funny.
Places.
You, Lise, I feel like you and I have similar personalities and Jen and Nikki have similar personalities because I also think that I'm weak and Jen is stronger because in those moments, she's a little more resolute than me and I'm always like, huh. But we've also found that it's really helpful to laugh at the shit that people say about us. And if it goes too far, we get in there and handle it. But I also have an Arya Stark list that's like, someday I'll kill everybody on this list. But we have a, that, you know, when people become keyboard warriors and they think they're just being so flip or cool or rude for the rude sake online, it's just, you, they would never say that to your face. They would meet your families and love you. They would meet you guys and love you. And everybody should be thinking about that before they,
to you.
They would never ever say
it. Studied. It really does. Cause it is a bizarre psychological thing of our time.
But for me, it's like when we get these, so inspired by Brittany Kellogg, who we had on our show a couple weeks ago, she takes out the trash on Tuesdays and she goes and she leans right in. So Nikki and I have kind of started with that. And we had a commenter basically say, I won't do it justice. I'm going to paraphrase, but she basically said, I'd be autistic too if my mother was, if my mother was insufferable as these two.
All right. All I need is a name.
Just I need a name and I need.
I was like, we're going to pull up.
Please. Arya Stark list.
Yeah.
Put her right. She's number 473.
I got a lot.
God, I love the Arya Stark.
Hey, ladies, if you know me, then you know that I always talk about Skims bras. I honestly think they are the most comfortable. I think they are stylish. I think they feel good. I mean, Kim K knows boobs, okay? I'm just going to say it. And especially when Jen and I are on tour, it is so nice to have not only comfortable bras, but comfortable underpants. So when we're on stage, nothing goes awry, if you know what I mean. I love Skims cotton loungewear. It is so soft. It's so comfortable. You feel really pretty when you wear it. And I always like to cozy up in a pair when I'm on the road. Even after months of wear, the products still feel soft and keep their shape. They have a perfect amount of stretch, and I feel so supported and comfortable all day. Every piece feels cozy and flattering at the same time. Shop Skims Cotton and all of our favorite pieces at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Are you there when, like, when they do the speed dating or the dating or whatever? Are you?
No. They would come. I was around when they filmed in the house, but when Connor was on dates, and same with Tanner, right, Nikki? Like, the crew takes them because Connor doesn't drive, so the crew would take him. And also when we went to London, I always feel like I need to say
this.
Georgie's mother was on that trip. Georgie's mother was on that trip. Like, I didn't take Georgie and Connor, and Georgie wasn't like, she had full support. And also in London, they would leave the hotel lobby and off they would go. And I went on I did my own thing. I literally met up with them at the end of the day. I trust that crew so much and the producers. Right. I was completely, I did not tag along on any dates. I was never in a bush behind a tree. No. I was never, you know, I was, I'll be honest, I was cocktailing along the Thames. I was having a good time.
And in fact, like,
doing that.
No. And you mean, like, we definitely were doing, like, you know, signing the papers, doing the Zoom meetings and planning calls behind the scenes. But once actual production started, and I mean, I was very much like,
I only showed my face when they said, Mom, we need you here. Or, you know, Mom, we need you to pick him up here. Or, Mom, we want you to be in this scene. Or they want Midge in this scene. Or they want whatever. We were completely directed as to when we were welcome and when we were not. So there was no, like, us having a say in whether we were, you know, included or not. That was production's decision.
Well, I'm sure they asked you to be on all the time because you were such fan favorites so fast. Like, both of your families, there's something so special for us as viewers to watch you guys interact as a family. It's like, obviously, both of them being on dates was really fantastic, and to watch that, it was very honest and sweet, but it is you guys as families that is bringing, like, how people operate with people in their family that are not neurotypical, mm-hmm. but like, I have so many favorite
that
moments.
Are brilliant, when, smart people.
Yes, brilliant, yep. smart people who say things like when.
But they need to call.
Connor called your house a leaky shack. I've never laughed harder in my life.
Because
your house is so nice.
It was built in '98. Like, it's a house. It's not even.
It's so
like, oh,
nice.
They live in a McMansion, y'all. I do not. It's cute. The kitchen we just redid. And I swear we have other rooms than our kitchen, but our house is not a McMansion at all. They shoot it, and I don't know if the angles are good. But yeah, when he called it a leaky shack, I was like, bro, I do my best around here.
Dying.
Right.
When he called you a college sophomore on that interview where he was like, you act like a college sophomore. I was dying. Like, Tanner, with his love for Jack Black, with his, these young gentlemen are changing the game. Yes.
They are. Yeah. They really are.
Thank you.
So I was like, it is nice living with Connor because his nickname's Truth Serum. So I can put something on and be like, babe, to my husband, do I look fat in this? No, baby, you look great. You look great. I'm like, Connor, do I look fat? Yep. Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah, your butt looks big. Go. Like, and then I know, I'm like, and he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm like, I hate both of you. Like,
I love that.
They're both horrible.
It's almost like I wish I could be that honest, you know? Like, it's not having the...
Yeah.
It's almost like they're all of us without, like, adhering to social mores in some ways, you know?
You're exactly right. That hits it nail on the head. That's exactly what it's like living with them. It's just... Yeah, I mean, you do not have to wonder what they're thinking. It's right there.
I was a teacher at a continuation school for 6 years, and so we had students that... I mean, I had them all. Most of them were the bullies, literally the bullies that got kicked out of school. Mm. They came to my school. And then we also had kids with autism. We had kids with behavior issues. It was a really mixed bag, which I felt really lucky to have that experience. And I did have a student with autism. And his favorite thing to do is at the end of every class, he would give me a list of the words that I either mispronounced or I used in the wrong context. Literally at the end of class.
He was monitoring you.
Literally, he's like, Miss Sweeney, you misspoke this many times. Here's the list. And I'm like, thank you, Sean. He was so unique. He like wore, he told me, he goes, Miss Sweeney, I want to play the theme song from Downton Abbey at graduation. I go, do you play the piano? And he goes, no. And I go, Sean, that's a super hard song. If you do this, you're going to have to practice literally like all of the time. He's like, I will. And I go, okay. So he comes to school the next day in coat and tails, like a tuxedo.
Okay, stop it. Yeah.
And a hat.
So he's embracing the role.
And he has an English accent for the rest of
Connor
the year.
Would do that.
4 months. And I'm like, my insides are so nervous for him because he goes up to the piano. And I'm like, and this is I play the piano. It is a hard ass song. Nailed it. Nailed
it. Did he flick his tail?
Yeah, lift his tail, head on the hat, head on the tail, da 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 da, plays the song. I'm like, this kid is extraordinary. Like, we're all better for having people that are not all alike in our sphere. It's the thing that makes us the most human.
This is very real in my life right now. I have a couple of mom friends who have children who are dealing with different, like, it's like just getting diagnosed, like seeing exactly what their specific kind of autism is, like what is all affected. And I don't always know how to be a good friend. Like sometimes I'll see them post on Facebook, like, this hurts my feelings when people do this. And I'm like, oh my God, do I do that? How do I be a good friend to that mom?
First of all, some of that, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this because I went through it on that your mom friend side. I got so jealous and I had a hard time. And I think about my friend Tiffany from Texas because our boys were baby friends together and I didn't know have Connor's diagnosis. And then every time Luke did something, almost didn't want to know and I certainly didn't want to celebrate it. That wasn't Tiffany's fault and that wasn't Luke's fault. That was on me. So I love that you're a good friend, but you've got to be able to celebrate your kid and enjoy your stuff too. And I hate to be so cold about it, but some of that is well and truly her issue. Like it was mine. But also on the flip side of that, to soften is I would really almost like my friends didn't know what to say to me, so they said nothing, and it almost hurt more. I would say, reach out. What's going on? What can you celebrate right now? What are you having trouble with? Don't be afraid to reach out, because the not looking like, okay, I'm like, Luke's over here doing basketball awards. I won't really look or talk about Connor. Don't do that. But also celebrate your damn kid too. And I'm sorry, and have your friend call me. Like, I'll help her walk through that side of it. But you can't feel bad for enjoying and milestoning with your child, but also don't be afraid to reach in and be like, hey, how's it going? Is there anything to celebrate? It's the friends who like politely just were like never really connected. They didn't take a ton of interest because they just didn't know what to do or what was they going to get.
I had one friend who literally, I mean, if I gave her a dollar for every hour she listened to me bitch and whine and moan about autism over the phone, she'd be a millionaire by now. I mean, she didn't have the answer. She had three neurotypical children. She didn't know. She couldn't really relate because she didn't have that, but she just let me bitch and let me be fearful and let me be negative and let me be frustrated and just letting them get it out. And like Lee said, sometimes the most precious gift I could have used that I did not get much of was time. Someone to lovingly, safely take Tanner and give me a freaking break. Because they are, and like, know that they're genuinely going to, even if it's 2 hours, you can go to the grocery store, a hair appointment or whatever by yourself, you know that your child's going to be entertained and engaged. And even if they have strange, odd behavior or they have high maintenance behavior, that person that has them is going to keep them lovingly and safely for that amount of time. That was the biggest gift anybody could have given me at that time. Feel like I was imposing upon them. And I think the other thing you can do is teach your neurotypical children that those kids matter too. They are not invisible. They are not weird. They don't not want relationship. They just don't show it the way they do. So teach your kid to go looking for them. I think is a huge gift you can give the family as well.
Love that. Will do. I'm going to ask another question that from like my standpoint with my friends is like, I feel like I don't want to tell them what's annoying or upsetting or frustrating with my kids because there's so much bigger.
No.
And I think sometimes that makes it hard for me to have those conversations.
Also, you know, with my kid, you spend 10 minutes with him and you'll very quickly figure out what's annoying about him. That's just...
It won't take long.
Annoying, frustrated, all of the feelings. Like, that's just... You'll figure that out on your own.
I don't want to complain that my daughter asks me 80 times a day to go to Starbucks. And I'm like, we can't afford all of these demands. But to say that to a mom who has a nonverbal child, am I being an asshole? Am I being a bad friend?
I don't think so. And if anything, as a mom, I would feel like part of the damn mom club that we're just having a regular mom conversation. And we're good conversation.
I agree.
And if you really are close to them, you can be like, hey, I don't want to be insensitive to your situation or what you're going through, but I also... You know, you're my friend and it's you and me. And I just want to talk to you like I'm talking, you know, and I don't know how frank you can be. But I just am a firm believer of that. This is your experience. And as a good friend, when I was having my issues and I had them, I was jealous and I was mad. and I isolated myself from it. I think it would have been cool. And I just think people don't know what to do, kind of in the boat you're in. I think what would have helped me is my friend just being like, hey, what's going on over there? What's up with Connor? Mm-hmm. How's he doing? Is there any cool things going on? Any celebrations? What's tough right now? Just to let me get that out. Then I think even being seen and heard for a second would have made me a little more open to hearing, well, what's going on with your kids? Because then you start to feel like you're not so out of the club.
Right.
You feel so out of the club.
You do. You feel so alone.
Diagnosed mm-hmm. and then you're over here.
Yeah.
And then
we have heard that.
Thank you for
moms.
Letting me make this about me, as I so craftily do in every conversation.
Well, we've run in, you know, we have this wonderful mom collective, and obviously every kind of kid is, we have parents with every kind of kid you can imagine, from like just even having like quote unquote normal difficulties all the way to physical challenges and whatnot. And we do our live show, which is a stand-up show, and we go through the women's bags. It's one of our really fun bits that we've been doing for 10 years. And we found we went through this woman's bag, and she had all this tubing, and we did not know what the fuck it was. It was literal tubing. And so we made it into like the biggest like beer bong. We were just trying to figure like, how do we make fun of this thing? It did not occur to us that her kid was severe and profound in a chair, and this tubing was for. So when she came to the meet and greet, she told us that tubing is for their wheelchair, and both of us like wanted to barf.
I thought it was for chewing.
And she goes, no, I'm so grateful that you made fun of me, just like everybody else. That like I was, there was
anyone
nothing
else.
About
yes.
me,
yeah. I
and
agree.
I was like, good God, what have we done? But I can see what she means.
No.
But still, there was a part of me that was like,
yeah. I would have been like, I'm Jesus. Psyched I'm getting made fun of, and this is,
And, I love it.
And there
I
was
think
a
that's
group
the best
of
thing you can do. Normalize.
It felt like we did it safely, and thank God we were just making fun of her as we would anybody else.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know.
Right.
My sixth grade teacher came to one of our shows, and I forgot she had had both of her feet removed, and I went through her bag, and she had these like socks for the prosthetics.
Yeah.
I don't know how I forgot that, ladies, but I did, and I made fun of her. I put the socks on my boobs, and
and she was delighted. Listen, we're not saying we're doing it right,
ladies.
I'm
still dealing with it. Well, we're going to exchange numbers because we're in love with you, ladies, and well, we're going to try to get together. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all for coming to us. We're thrilled. This is so wonderful.
Please tell Connor and Tanner they're our heroes and that we're just such big fans. And we hope they're having a great day. Let me just say, Lise and Nikki are cool from tip to tail.
I mean, they're better us, honestly.
They're way better us. And
blonde, brunette, kinder, gentler, better parents, work out more.
Wow. Yeah, their backgrounds are cool. They're not their backgrounds, but literally when our podcast producer says, I'm going to take a picture of their backgrounds and use it as your background, then you know that they're cool. But what a delightful conversation. And these women are just
wonderful.
Like, they've been dealing with having kids with autism and navigating those tough situations. But they also are just down ass women that are good friends with each other, are easy to talk to. And I think they should really be celebrated.
They seem so cool on the show, and it is just refreshing. And it makes me so happy that that's really who they are.
Also, I really like that the landscaper came the moment that they had to podcast, which
real life,
just makes
real
me
life,
feel like
matter.
We're normal.
What kind of mom you are.
It doesn't matter.
The landscaper will come at the wrong time.
That's right. I think we podcasted, Jenny.
I think we podcasted.
Pioneer.